following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
This evening we're going to have a word from Pastor Allen, and so I'm excited to see how the Lord continues to work. So would you guys welcome Pastor Allen?
Hey, this is, as Pastor Bill said, of course, resonance, but the theme this year, Psalms of the Night. Psalms, songs. Psalms are songs that we have in the Word. But Songs of the Night. And so we're here at nighttime, and we're going through a variety of psalms. And I'm going to be taking you through Psalm 15, Psalm 1-5, Psalm 15. And we're going to take a slight little road trip to Matthew 11. So if you're going to be following along in your hard copy Bible or digital Bible, you're welcome to join me in Psalm 15 and Matthew 11. But whenever we look in the Old Testament, or the Psalms for sure, but any of the Old Testament books, I think it's really important to make sure that we look through it in the lens of the New Covenant, the New Testament, the New Covenant relationship that most of us have with the Lord, right? So that's why we're going to take a slight little trip in a few moments to Matthew 11. But let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts, all right? So would you join me? Father in heaven, thank you. And thanks for so many blessings, and we've experienced them together tonight. Lord, it's been good fellowship before the event started. Lord, we've seen brothers and sisters with their wares and their gifts and such in the booths. Lord, we've heard of a missionary, Lord, a sweet sister who has dedicated her life and all the schooling in medicine to be a missionary doctor. Lord, we have heard a new artist. Lord, we have heard a seasoned group of artists. Lord, we have had worship together. Lord, it's been a blessing. Thank you for that. And now, Father, we're going to dig in for a few minutes to your word. This is your word. And so, Lord, we want to catch all that you have. I do for sure. I want to hear from you, but I want to speak your words as well, Lord. So I pray for your blessing to make that possible, and on our ears to hear, Lord, our spiritual ears. Lord, we need to hear from you. We do. That's just a common need that we all have. And so, Lord, please speak to our hearts through your word, by your spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you for praying with me. So, Psalm 15, a psalm of David. Not all of them are, but Psalm 15 is. Certainly some of your favorites are probably psalms that David wrote. And so verse 1, Psalm 15, verse 1, David says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Good questions, right? That's a great question to ask, posed by David. So who can do that? Who can abide in your tabernacle? Who can dwell in your holy hill? And so because the picture that he's painting there is really one of just hanging out in God's presence, right? That's the idea. So you may think, well, tabernacle. I mean, he's talking about the tabernacle in Jerusalem and Mount Zion, and I'm not there. So how does that apply to me? But the idea there, the picture that David is painting, is one of just hanging out in God's presence, being at home with him, and please catch this both, the Lord being at home with you, right? So you being at home with him and the Lord being at home with us, feeling at home with us. So that makes these really great questions, because who wouldn't want to experience that, right? Who would not want to experience the blessings of God's hospitality, right? And who wouldn't want to be hospitable to God? I want to be hospitable to God. I want him to feel welcome in my heart. But I want to experience the blessings, the fullness of his hospitality. That's something that we appreciate. The Bible talks about hospitality. It talks about it as a gift that's amongst the body. And we're all called to be hospitable, but some of us have that extra anointing, right? You know people like that have that gift. You think, man, that person is just, they have the gift of hospitality, that you just feel so welcome. You feel like you've known that person for years, but you just met them. And that's a special gift, but we're all called to be hospitable to some degree or another. And maybe you've experienced people in your family, friends perhaps, as well, that had that gift. I had an aunt who I haven't talked to in a long time. She may have gone on to be with the Lord. She moved and we lost contact, but her name was Aunt Joan. And she was Italian, and she was just that classic Italian matron. Loved to cook, loved to feed you what she cooked. And I loved to eat, so it was a good combination. But it was real, it was genuine, it was warm, it was cheerful. And so she had that gift of hospitality, except for her couches. Her couches had the clear plastic over the couches. I never did get that. I guess because of the red sauce, right? But we were typically always at the dining table, so it really didn't matter. And the hospitality was certainly there. But again, the question, who can offer that kind of hospitality to the Lord? Who can experience that sense of hospitality from him? And the answer starts really in verse 2 and goes through. It's a short psalm, if you haven't noticed, or if you didn't know, it's very short. But it starts in verse 2. But I want us to just take a quick look at Matthew 11, because I really think, as I said, we need that context of the New Testament lens to really look at this psalm. So let me read to you from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And so when a person humbly comes to Jesus for salvation, for reconciliation, to make things right with God, Jesus says that if you do that, I'll give you rest. I'll give you that rest forever. It's a gift. The rest from that vain attempt to make things right with God, because we've tried that, and it's in vain. Rest from the useless efforts to earn salvation. And so rest from that. Rest from wondering if I'm ever good enough. Am I good enough? Am I good enough to stay saved, to get saved? Rest from the weight of sin, right? That heaviness on your shoulder. And so Jesus gives you rest from that. But then as a believer, as a saved sinner, as a child of God, and a child of God because you've received salvation, right? You yoke with Jesus. It's a farming tool, so it's kind of it's a metaphorical way, really, of letting Jesus lead you, right? And so when you do that, when you let him lead you, and then, as he said, when you learn from him, when you learn from Jesus, when you walk with him, when you walk his way, then you'll find that day-to-day rest, the day-to-day rest for your soul. So what are some of the examples of walking that way? I'm sure all of us could come up with dozens. What's that lifestyle that David is going to give us some examples of, that lifestyle that leads to enjoying his presence? Because, as a matter of fact, in the next psalm, Psalm 16, also a song that David wrote, he says, "Lord, in your presence there is fullness of joy." So in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. So what's that lifestyle that just adds to that? And let me say this, just as a little caveat, very important here. The Lord is still present if you have humbly come to him in faith, when your lifestyle isn't quite aligning with that new life in Christ. So as we read through these next few verses, you think, sometimes that ain't happening. It's not that the Lord is not present in those times. But the fact is, if those things are not in play, these descriptions that David's going to give us in the next few verses, then ultimately it's like I'm not being hospitable to Jesus, right? And then the full joy of his presence, it just isn't there. The relationship still exists, but it's awkward. It's janky. It's not right. It's a relationship, but it's not healthy. It's not good. But he's still present, but we're not experiencing the fullness, that fullness of joy and rest. So verse 2, Psalm 15, verse 2. Here's the answers to the questions posed in verse 1. "He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart." So is David saying that I earn and deserve, that if I do these things that I earn and deserve, that eternal rest, that reconciliation, that my salvation. No, that's something I believe and I receive. I'm His. And that's why the scripture is so clear, and yet so many miss this, but the scripture is so clear. It's not by works of righteousness that you and I have done that save us. It's by the grace of God. So the point is, I want to respond to His love. I don't want to earn His love. I can't earn His love. I want to respond to His love. I want to make the Lord at home in my heart, right? So as David said in verse 2, I walk it out. He said, I walk uprightly. I do right things. My words are true and from the heart. And the Bible has much to say about what you say and what I say. Just as verse 3 says, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. And so the bottom line here, I would sum it up and just say, treat others as you want to be treated. Jesus said that, right? That was kind of a summary point, and it really hits it here, I think. And so he goes on. David goes on in verse 4, again, answering that question, who can experience the fullness of your presence? Verse 4, well, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord, he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. And the idea here is that if I want that kind of experience that hospitality and be hospitable to the Lord and just experience that rest and fullness of joy, then I'm not going to celebrate wickedness. Again, this isn't about earning salvation. It's about enjoying that rest. I don't celebrate wickedness. Rather, I celebrate those who would humble themselves before God. Yet at the same time, so important, I never forget that I'm a child of God only because of His grace. That's the only reason I'm a child of God. And so I honor what's right before God, and I honor those who humble themselves before God, even if it's politically incorrect, even if it's not woke. I may have it may have a negative impact on me if I do that, but I do the right thing, right? Always knowing it has the potential consequence of not being good, of it having a negative impact on me, but that's okay. My Lord Jesus experienced that all the time. But the fact is, in those times, the Lord is fully present with you. And He's present with me in those times. Verse 5. Still answering that question from verse 1. He who does not put out his own money at usury, at exorbitant interest rates, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. In other words, just to try to broaden the application, I don't abusively take advantage of someone's misfortune, right? My gain is not the ultimate objective. I don't put economy above integrity. And so when I walk this way, when you walk this way, as David is talking about, we won't be moved, as he said. We won't be mowed over by life's curveballs. And they come, and they have come. And I know many of you have experienced those and are experiencing those and, sorry, will experience those. And that's just the reality. But when my lifestyle, when it lines up with the description that David's giving us here in verses 2, 3, 4, and 5, I'm not earning my salvation, but I have a home. I'm at home with the Lord. Not just a house, but a home. Big difference, right? You've experienced that. We sometimes think of those as synonymous, a home and a house, but they're not. A house is just simply a dwelling, but a home is the heart inside of it, the heart behind it that makes it a home, that makes it have that sense of hospitality. So the end game in this psalm, and in life, by the way, the end game is intimate fellowship with the Lord. That's the end game. It should be your end game. That should be my objective in life, is intimate fellowship with the Lord, healthy and vibrant relationship. But that has to start with a relationship. I can't have a healthy relationship if I don't have a relationship with somebody. I've got to have the relationship first, but then I want it to be a healthy relationship, a vibrant relationship. So it has to start with a relationship. And of course, that's only possible, as most of you know, and as the Bible says, it's only possible through Jesus. So the first part, always the first part, is to believe and then receive. And then He gives you, just as we read in Matthew 11, He gives you rest. He doesn't pay you rest. He doesn't say, all right, pay time, payday. No, He gives you rest. Rest from that weight and that penalty of sin. He gives you that rest. And then, as most of you, maybe all of you, I don't know, have become children of God and the family of God, having done that, then you yoke with Jesus. Again, that just that farming tool that would put two oxen side by side so that one could lead. And so, Jesus, I want to walk out my life side by side with you, but I want you to lead me. But I want to walk side by side with you. And so you let him lead you. And some of those practical examples, and it's not an exhaustive list that David gave us in those last four verses, but those are examples of just ways that we walk that out as we let Jesus lead us. And so we yoke with him, so to speak, and then we learn. He said, learn of me, and we learn his ways, and we follow him. And that's where we find that day-to-day rest, daily rest, rest that comes with being at home with the Lord. And rest that comes with him being at home in your heart, right? Being welcomed in that place. Nothing to hide from him. Just open with him. And so, as you have gathered over the weeks we've been here in the previous years, we always set up the easy up to your right, to my left, so that you can do something with that. Right? It's a place. It's a point of contact. So you can do. That's what the Lord does, right? John, in his gospel, chapter 3, he said, God so loved the world that he gave. He loved, but what did he did something. He gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. But he did something. It doesn't say God so loved the world. Boom, there it is. No, he so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He did something. So, that is our example to always respond to God's invitation. His invitation to you, if you never have, perhaps, there are some here tonight, I do not know, God knows, that have never responded to that invitation to be part of his family, to be reconciled to him, to receive his gift of salvation, forgiveness of sin, because Jesus paid it all. And so the Lord's example, his call to us is respond. It's always to respond. And then for those of us that already have, that have responded to that invitation, then I believe from time to time, the Lord uses examples like David's. And again, those were not exhaustive in verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. But to respond to that tug and say, Lord, I want to yoke up more, right? I want to walk side by side with you more intentionally, more deliberately, and let you lead. But I want to learn. I don't want to stop learning of you. I want to learn of you. And so that call is for us as well to do something with that. It's like, you know, if you're listening to, you know, a radio talk show or something, maybe somebody's giving financial advice. Maybe it's Dave Ramsey, and you go, man, that's great stuff. I heard Dave Ramsey, and he talked. I loved it. It was great. I'm going to start that one day. I'm going to start doing that budget thing. I'm going to start doing those baby steps. But you never do anything. You never take that first step. Then there's nothing there. So that's why we put that easy up over here. Is just a point of contact to pray with someone. So that's Psalm 15. So we're going to pray, and I trust Lamar and the voices from heaven will close us out. But I'd love it if you'd pray with me right now, right? Father in heaven, thank you. Lord, thank you for the gift of rest from trying to make things right, rest from trying to earn, rest from trying to deal with the weight of our own sin. Lord, you give rest. And then, Lord, you make a way for us to enjoy on a day-to-day basis peace in our hearts, fullness of joy. Lord, you want to give us that. That's your heart. Of course it is. It's your heart for us as your kids. And you show us the way is just to let your son lead us day by day, learn of his ways, and just to walk it out, to walk with him. And then to experience that fullness of joy and just to be hospitable to you, Lord, and to experience the fullness of who you are in your heart. So, Father, we're a grateful people. And, Lord, we pray any areas in our life that maybe just they don't line up, just not quite what you would have them to be. Lord, we know there's no condemnation in your son. Lord, we believe your word when it says that. But Lord, your heart for us is to walk with you, and you'll point out areas with your arm around us and say, no, let's go this way, not that way. So Lord, help us. Help me to follow the lead of your son. And Lord, our prayer as well, and perhaps our greatest prayer tonight, would be for any, if any here, that don't yet know you the way we do, and not because we earned it, because you gave it, and we received that gift, the gift of life, real life, to know you, to be forgiven by you, to be yours, Lord. Would you speak to any heart that needs to hear that, Lord? And would you draw them to yourself? And Lord, we don't want to give you tips or advice on how to do that, that they do this or that, but Lord, that they respond, whether it's at the Easy Up or the neighbor or just directly with you, but they would just respond and say, God, I need that. I need that. And Lord, you draw most of us to that place, if not all of us, to that place at one time in our life where we said, God, I need to be forgiven. And I can't pay the price for my sins, past, present, even future, but your son can. And Lord, you showed us that, and we simply responded and said, we believe it. Help us, God. And you did. And so, Lord, any that need that help, Lord, would you please, please help them to see that. Open their eyes as you did ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.